Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Esteemed brothers and sisters in Christ, Dr. Barth, members of the faculty, especially you, dear students, about to receive your vicarage assignments, and all your dear ones, friends in Christ, all of you. The Word of God, chosen for our consideration, written in Luke chapter 10, which is concerned to mission of the 70 and their return, beginning at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Alexander Hayes made what many, I believe, think a number of blunders, which finally cost him his job as Secretary of State. He caught flack, for example, when he referred to himself as a vicar. But not just any vicar. He tried to define his position and work as being the president vicar. Now, the term vicar doesn't carry with it the kind of place that was in that expression, the president vicar. It is a warm term. Vicars are people who are loved and accepted in the church, and especially in the Lutheran Church in Missouri Synod. Vicars are real human beings prized by the congregations where they serve, and I'm sure also by many other people, including the faculty and the rest of the student body at the seminary, by the church, this family called the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And when vicarage assignments begin, then people look forward to the arrival of the vicar. And of course you, those men now about to receive your vicarage assignment, have rightful expectations of excitement and a wonderful experience in your vicarage work and training. Just think about it. After a year's work, you will return back to this seminary again, God willing, and you will have made many new friends, and you will come back changed. You will know some people, and some people will know you as friends for a lifetime, supporters who will pray for you, and you will never lose contact with them. May God grant that you be assigned, all and each and every one of you, to a congregation where you have a supervising pastor or bishop whom you can look to as a real model and mentor, and who will love you in Christ Jesus as a son or brother, and who will continue to have an interest in you and continue to support you throughout your lifetime. You are looking forward to some real work and experience in the parish. Some of you come with quite a bit of experience already. But nevertheless, all the duties of the parish pastor, at least in microcosm, at least in part, the preaching and teaching of the word, calling on people, listening to people, ministering to people in need, praying for them and with them. What an exciting prospect to go out on your vicarage assignment. The diversity that is there, the wonderful work as a servant of Jesus Christ in the ministry of word and sacrament. That's a great thing, and you rightfully, I believe, can have expectations of joy. And when you return back to this place after your year's assignment and work, I pray that it may be said of you again, they return with great joy. You have ample reason for joy, even as did the 70 who were commissioned and selected by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who instructed them for their assignment and their work. He empowered them, he encouraged them, and what a send-off it was that the Lord Jesus himself should send those 70 to the places where he himself would come. Now, we don't have an analogous situation. It's not quite the same in your situation, but nevertheless, there's a commonality here in that it really is the Lord Jesus Christ who sends you and also welcomes you where you go. It is he who, through his church, is providing service and offering training for future ministry as well. There were 70 in number who were commissioned and sent out into those villages where Jesus himself would come. The number 70 is taken to be symbolic of the number of the non-Jewish nations, the whole Gentile world. And think about it. If you start looking here to see where you are all going, you're being spread out throughout this country and beyond in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, serving in the church. What a wonderful and exciting thing it is to be involved in the church, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and in the great enterprise of the whole Christian church on earth. Surely, there is always joy in going in the name of Jesus Christ. Those 70 were commissioned and sent in the name of Jesus, and that wasn't just a motto for them. It was an empowering by the Lord Jesus Christ with authority to speak in his name and to serve in his name. And in fact, he said to those people, he who hears you, hears me. He who despises you, despises me. And he who despises me, despises him who sent me. You're not just going to do your own thing, establish it yourself as a suitable candidate for the office of the pastoral ministry. No, you're going in the name of Jesus Christ, serving the church. It was a heady thing, wasn't it, for those 70 to go out to be commissioned and to be told that they would be healing the sick and overcoming the power of the enemy, the devil. Now, I don't know just what experiences await you in your assignment, but surely some great and wonderful experiences will accompany you, as they have already accompanied you in your life with Jesus Christ as called people of God. But I'm sure you'll be just standing there in awe at times when you take stock of the situation and reflect on what is happening and what wonderful things God will be doing. as you watch the people of God at work, as you see your congregational ministry in action, and as you yourself become involved in it. So there will be victories to celebrate, and that certainly brings joy. But there also will be failures, and the resulting disillusionment and disappointment, and you will have some self-doubt, I suppose, about your own person and your own competence, and you wonder whether you have loved the job. And you may have reason to ask that question. But nevertheless, when you are being supported by your church and the people of God, and are experiencing this, you will find that the word of God will also be brought to bear on you and your situation. You will hear the comforting word of forgiveness and the support of the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and especially of your supervising pastor. The 70 returned, and they just couldn't help but speak of their experiences. Their joy was so effervescent that they had to tell the Lord Jesus about it all, and especially to tell him about those wonderful works that had been done in his name, and that even the demons were subject to them. And the Lord Jesus, the gracious Lord that he is, also with us, did not pour cold water on their enthusiasm. He heard them out and rejoiced with them, and connected that joy with his own and his own work, saying that he had seen Satan fall like lightning in defeat, and was saying to these people actually that they were in company with him, and it was by his power and blessing that these mighty works had been accomplished. And yet there is a gentle reminder that our joy cannot be in our own accomplishment. There is something structural about that kind of joy. It's too bad if we carry with us false notions of our own religious power. Lord, did you not in your name cast out demons? The Lord Jesus says that he'll hear that on a certain day, and he will respond, "I never knew you." So our great accomplishments have to be taken in the proper spirit, and we have to remember that the success in the church does not depend upon us and our prowess, our skill, and our ingenuity. We do not have to be powerful people in our own right, and we don't have to parade before people as people with authority and power and have that kind of image. The real joy, our Savior tells us, is to be found elsewhere. The Lord Jesus said, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Now he gets to the ground and center of it all and sets everything straight. We can have joy in our liturgies, in our ministries, in our service, wherever we go as the people of God, only as we find it in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord himself, in his ministry, healed people, even raised people from the dead, and spoke his word of power to the devil, and faced and routed the demons. Nevertheless, those very people benefited. Nevertheless, all finally died and needed something more than all that, because that was just the penultimate thing. pointing forward to something greater still to come. And it had to be accomplished through the struggle, through the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh yes, indeed, there is a strongly human desire in all of us to carve out our niche, to write our name. It would be a strange forgetfulness that would cause someone who would scale Mount Everest to forget to write his name up there. But finally, our name writing on our own is never going to accomplish too much. And any human name writing finally results in something that is transitory. People will write on our graves, on our markers on the tomb, the name, the date of birth, and the date of death. But there is something far greater that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has done. You know what St. Paul has to say about Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This one, whose name is above every name, was willing to become almost nameless, to be nailed to the cross, to be despised and forsaken by people. He said of himself in prophecy, I am a worm and no man. He made himself of no reputation. He was despised and rejected of men. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We esteemed him not. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In his self-forgetfulness and his love and devotion to us and his heavenly Father, he was willing to take our curse upon himself and to have the accusation against us nailed to his cross, so that even he had to cry out, as though he had no name and no family, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in that struggle, our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished the purpose of God. He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. It was because God already before the foundation of the world chose us in him to be his own, that he suffered and died and routed the devil and won the victory for us. And he stands before us now and tells us that he has given us a new name. In that name we rejoice, and that name is not written on a tombstone, but that name is written in heaven. Dr. Helmut Zielicke, in his book on the Creed, tells the story that comes from a book entitled Heathen Case, written by John Paul Richter, in which he has a ghastly dream vision of a Christ who has lost his heavenly Father. He confesses to the whole world, to all those who followed him, that he has been wrong, that he has misled men into false faith, into false security. And he exclaims in his own lostness, we are orphans, all, both I and ye. We have no father. Oh, dead, dumb nothingness, necessity, endless and still, oh, mad, unreasoning chance. Every soul in this great court center, the universe is utterly alone. I am alone. There is none by me. O Father, Father, where is that boundless breast of thine that I may rest upon? But then the vision ends with the sleeper's awakening from the nightmare. And he hears the evening bells ringing, and he finds that he's back in the comforting world which rests in the hands of the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the world in which we live. The Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, is in control. The Son of God has given us a blessed hope. Our names are written in heaven, safely guarded there. And we rejoice, and with St. Peter we say, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, but the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So, where is our joy? Our names are written in heaven to Jesus Christ. And at the end of each day, and each victory day too, you can pray, Lord Jesus, who dost love me, O spread thy wings above me and shield me from alarm. Though Satan would devour me, let angel guards sing o'er me. This child of God shall meet no harm. Amen. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.